الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. وقال تعالى: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون إنما يتذكر أولو الألباب. Dear brothers in Islam, one of the important obligations that we have in Islam is to know the status of ulama in Islam. This is a very sensitive topic. Generally, people do not talk about, because the people who can talk about is ulama themselves. So if they talk about the status of ulama, then there is this worry that the person who is speaking, he might be talking about himself, which is a claim. So this is a topic which is usually sidelined. But somehow, as ulama talk about various subjects and various topics, they also have to let people know the definition of ilm, who is alim, what are the responsibilities of a alim, and also what is his status in Islam, and how we deal with ulama, etc. Because if we do not talk about this, then there will be a lot of ignorance and also lot of assumption. In Islam, guesswork in the matters of deen is not encouraged. In the matters of deen, we need to have clarity. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned about the kuffar, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا ظَنَّ. They do not follow except ظَن. ظَن يعني guess. They do not follow except ظَن. وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيَّا. And with regards to haq, with regards to the truth, ظن does not help. Guess does not help. What is really important for us and what is really necessary for us, we have to have clarity and we have to have assurance. Likewise, this subject also needs to be addressed. In fact, in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in so many places that a status of ulama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has talked about the status of ulama in many ahadith. Why do we need to know this and why do we understand this? What is the need? What is the urgency? Because without knowing the need, we may not want to pay attention. We need to know the status of ulama because for the matters of deen, we take their advice. For the matters of deen, we ask them, we refer to them, we take their guidance. If a person does not trust somebody, is he going to listen to their advice? If a person does not regard anybody, is he going to go back to them? He will not take any advice seriously. Say you have a really personal, important matter. You can ask anybody whom you might encounter online, offline, or you find who is the expert for that field and then you ask them. If it is a matter which is going to impact somebody's life, you don't want to listen to any X, Y, Z. You want to find somebody who knows what he's talking about. Matters of deen are matters of akhirah. Matters of deen, matters of our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Matters of deen are matters that are going to impact this life and also hereafter. So for the matters of deen, we depend on ulama. And even if you ask an alim, he will say, I also depend on an alim. He cannot say, I depend on myself, even though he might be alim. Because this is the continuity of the chain. This, like, for example, ulama of our times, they depend on the early ulama. And the early ulama, they used to depend on the, you know, great imams, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad, Rahimahumullah, Ajma'in. And they used to rely on Tabi'in, they used to rely on Sahaba, and they used to rely on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this is very normal, this is very natural, that even a alim today, he does not rely on himself. You find a biggest alim, biggest mufti anywhere in the world, he does not rely on himself. He relies on the early ulama, and they rely on the earlier ulama, and they rely. So what about a common man? A common man has no choice except to rely on ulama. Anybody who would assume that he has answers for all the questions is an illusion. Even big ulama, they don't have answers for all the questions. Even big ulama, they always keep learning. And they always say, I know this much, I don't know so much. In fact, what we don't know is more than what we know. What we don't know is a lot. And what we know is very little. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, great Imam, alim, faqih, muhaddith. Imam Udar al-Hijra, Imam Malik, when he compiled Muwatta, which is a collection of a hadith, one of the earliest collections of a hadith, when he collected Muwatta, he presented to at least 60-70 ulama in Medina, big mashayikh in Medina, although he himself is a big sheikh, big alim. And all of them, they said, all these hadiths are very, you know, very valid, very strong. And because they all agreed on his book, he called it agreed upon. Muwatta means something that is, you know, that has consensus, something that has been agreed upon. Imam Malik rahimahullah, somebody came to visit him from a different part of the world and asked him so many questions. And at that time, traveling used to take a lot of time, a lot of effort. Was not easy, lot of risk as well. And he asked so many questions. Imam Malik replied to some of the questions. And for many questions, Imam Malik said, I don't know. For many questions, Imam Malik said, I don't know. Find somebody else who can help you. Because in the matters of deen, we cannot speak of ignorance. We cannot say something which we don't know. You don't know, you don't know. As simple as that. So the man, he was shocked. He said, Imam, I came all the way from such and such place and I was hoping that you will help me, you will guide me, you will give me an answer. So when I go back, what I'm going to say to the people? Because people are expecting me that this person, he's traveled to Medina and he's going to meet with Imam Malik and he's going to bring some answers to these questions. He said, go back to the people and tell them that Malik does not know. This was the attitude of the ulama. Unfortunately, for so many reasons, now the time, there is no time to go into that, you know, aspect. For so many reasons, there has been disconnection between the masses, the public, and the ulama. And that is very helpful for shaitan. Because shaitan can play with anybody's mind. Shaitan can misguide anybody. Shaitan says, you don't need to ask anybody, you know yourself. Why you need to go to these mullahs, these imams, these maulvis, alims? You can read for yourself. So one day you read and you figure out something. Next day you read and you figure out something totally opposite. After some time, you come up with a new idea. And then deen becomes a play. Anybody can interpret according to their own mizaj, according to their own taste. If I like something, I will go in that direction. If I don't like something, I will go in that direction. Unfortunately, my brothers, this is becoming more and more common. That's why every now and then we need to talk about the status of ulama in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal obviously obliged people to seek ilm. So there must be some people who seek detailed ilm. Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. The meaning of this, why there are not a group of people from every community who go out, who travel, so that they seek the understanding of deen. You cannot have everything in your home. A person has to make effort, a person has to travel, a person has to spend time with ulama. And sometimes for a particular field of knowledge, if you don't find somebody locally, somebody nearby, well, you go and find wherever they might be. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. And that they warn their people when they return. So on one hand, Allah Azza wa Jal has encouraged that in every community we need to have such people. But then once we have such people who have gained tafaqquh of deen, who have gained ilm of deen, then we need to value them. We need to value them because they represent our deen, not because of their names, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Ibrahim, not because of their names. They are human beings like anybody else. But because of them having this responsibility to represent the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, they represent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody who will have value of deen will value ulama. Anybody who does not have value of deen, he will not have value for ulama. Anybody who would respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would respect his representatives. If you have a respect for a government, you respect the ambassador. You disregard the ambassador. What does it mean? Declaration of war. Declaration of war. You kick out the ambassador. What happens? You are disconnecting yourself from that government. Ulama are the representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama are the inheritors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. We hear all the time. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. Ulama are the inheritors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama, they preserve the ilm of the Quran and the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't have ulama, there will be no deen. As simple as that. The reason why we have deen, alhamdulillah, is because of thousands and hundreds of thousands of ulama are then sacrifices throughout the history. In every era, in every time, in every century, we have had thousands and hundreds of thousands of ulama all over the world who dedicated their lives for learning the Quran, for learning the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for teaching Islam to the people. That was their objective. And that's how the deen have been preserved. So these people, Allah demands that we respect them. They do not demand because they don't care. They don't care. You respect them, you respect them. You don't respect them, you don't. That's your problem. But Allah demands that we respect them. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He elevates the people who believe among you. There are people who are believers and there are people who are unbelievers. Are they the same? In the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are not same. One unbeliever is better than millions of unbelievers. One believer is better than millions of non-believers. Because one person is loyal and you have lots of people who are disloyal to you. Whom you prefer? You have one friend and thousands of enemies. Whom you like? Obviously, you are going to like your friend. Just because your enemies are a lot, are you going to like them? you don't care about your enemies. You care about your friend.
علماء ار اولياء اف الله، علماء ار اولياء اف الله. Imam Abu Hanifa said, rahimahullah alayh, if ulama are not awliya of Allah, then there are no awliya of Allah. Imam Abu Hanifa said, if ulama are not awliya of Allah, there are no awliya of Allah. Imam Shafi'i also said something similar. So Allah Azza wa Jalla demands that we respect our ulama. Any community who has respect for ulama, that community will prosper. And any community has disregard for their ulama will have no prosperity. Even among non-Muslims, non-Muslim communities who have respect for their religious leaders, in their religion, they will have advancement. Whether that is right or wrong, that is another thing. And any non-Muslim community who have no regard for their religious leaders, their religion will disappear. As simple as that. Among Muslims, it is not a matter of prosperity, not prosperity. It is a matter of obliging with the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the words of the hadith vary in some narrations. Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana. He does not belong to us. Yani he is not from Muslims. He has nothing to do with us. Who does not have mercy on our young people? Laysa minna man lam yarham saghirana. He does not belong to us. Who does not have mercy on our young people? Walam yuqir kabirana. And who does not honor our elderly people? A person who does not have respect for Muslims who are elderly. Any elderly deserves respect. But Muslim person who has worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal all his life and now he became aged, well, he has accumulated all that worship of many years. He has developed gray hair worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. He deserves extra respect. A person who does not have respect for Muslim elderly people does not belong to Muslims. He has nothing to do with Islam. Laysa minna. This hadith is in Tirmidhi, and this hadith is also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. The words vary. The meaning is similar. وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ. He does not belong to us who does not recognize the right of our alim. He does not belong to us who does not recognize, who does not know the right of our alim. Rasulullah SAW, he is attributing alim to himself. My dear brothers, the more we value our ulama, the more we value our deen. The more we respect our ulama, the more we respect the knowledge that we receive from them. The more we have regard for our ulama, the more we take their advice seriously. And the less we care about ulama, the less we care about deen. This does not mean that alim is 100% perfect. Anbiya alayhim salam, they are 100% perfect. Anybody other than Nabi can make any mistakes. Even anybody other than Nabi can commit a sin. In order to show the difference, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal, he made this arrangement that normal human being can make mistakes. But that does not mean that we lose the value of that person. You see the positive side and the negative side. If you have 95% positive and 2-3 negative, that negative is disregarded. That person might have made a mistake, he might have made the tawbah, Allah will forgive him. And we all make mistakes, Allah forgives us. We should not look for perfection. This is the waswasa of shaitan. Oh, this alim, he made such and such mistake, khalas. Now I don't listen to him. That alim, he did this, khalas, that's it. Well, you are looking for a prophet then. If you are looking for a person who is perfect alim, you are looking for a prophet. There is no prophet to come. There is no Nabi to come. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Khatamun Nabiyyin. There is no Nabi after him. After him, you will have ulama. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. And these ulama, they will have the knowledge of deen and they will have the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they are human beings. They can make mistakes. But still, in matters where they do not make mistakes, we follow them. If they make a mistake in a particular matter, we do not follow them in that particular matter.
May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us tawfiq to understand the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us understanding to have value for ulama and for the inheritors of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.